Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 6, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, make this choice tonight. If you haven't made it already, if you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. And I do have a couple to call back that are on my answer machine, I noticed, from over the 4th of July. I will be getting to those. Be assured. The phone number is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent by United States Postal Service in email with your return address, your phone number, to call you back. Pray about it. We have a prayer request form or a contact form, whichever you want to use it for, on the right-hand side of prophecyhour and messiahsbranch.com pages. We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, internationally, YouTube, and some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. We are a live radio program. On another note, let's thank our listener base. And yeah, it's sure worldwide. Places like Oslo, Norway, Dublin, Ireland, Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Vienna, Australia, Tokyo, Japan, and of course, good old cities in the good old USA, such as Houston, Texas, Aurora, Illinois, Henderson, Nevada, Buffalo, New York, Memphis, Tennessee, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners, at least when the programs go to podcast later on tonight. Now, prayer, we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest's will. So please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Please lift the veil from them. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, each day, America is starting to accept gay marriage and all sorts of things. The Bible clearly speaks out again. Well, is the devil succeeding in changing the very word with so many translations out there? I mean, they don't like it. What do? Translate it away? Well, I was reading an article last night about people leaving the Southern Baptist Convention, which we'll talk about that in a minute, but I was really struck by this one person that had left, and he wrote this note, and this reflects what I get from a lot of people. So I'm going to write it. Let's read this. What religion is the only religion? He says, is there one God or many? Is there one book or many? God wants his will, not mine or yours. Signed up for SBC and got blank so many times, I got worried of it and walked away, and nothing can bring me back to the SBC or any only religion. I'm not called to do holy, and I don't want to do holy or say stuff for God. I don't want to do his will or wait on the Lord or quote scriptures to heal other people. Don't feel sorry for me, because you don't really feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for you, though. Religion is such a colossal waste of time, and the SBC and religious people want to ostracize me and kill me. Jesus wants to give me an ultimatum, heaven or hell, and religious people can't wait to cast the first stone. I bet none give the plan of salvation. Look out, incoming. So here I am. Let the stoning begin from all the good self-made, motivated, self-righteous Christians, DAR, priests, popes, pastors, deacons, females, males. Let's see who throws the first stone. Well, that's what I thought. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through His Son Yeshua. And we will talk about this along with this other article, Southern Baptists Embrace Gender-Inclusive Language in the Bible. To sort this out, we're bringing on Pastor Carl Gallups with him, who is a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987. He's a radio talk host, holds nationally, internationally, TV, radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and is a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written 5 books now, and I think he's got another one just getting ready to come out. The rabbi who found the story, the story of Yitzhar Kaderi and his prophecies of the end time. The magic man in the sky, effectively defending the Christian faith. Final warning. Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution in Times of Troubles. And the latest book, at least it was the last time I talked to him, When the Lion Roars. So are you there with us, Pastor Carl?
I am. Thank you so much for having me on, Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan, you the man.
Well, I love having you on, Carl. And you always give such great insight into things, and you're just a joy to have you on. So, and besides, it's somebody I can pick on, so here we go.
Right. Well, yeah, I do have to keep a good sense of humor, so you go ahead and pick on, brother. I got wide shoulders. I've been in the ministry like you have for a long time, brother.
Yeah, amen and amen to that. Well, you know, this guy's attitude, I was doing a research on that article that actually came out at WorldNet Daily about the SBC, and I somehow got led to this other article about people leaving it, and I couldn't believe the attitude of this person that I just read his quote. What do you think?
Yeah, no, listen, there's something, listen, I spent 10 years in law enforcement on trying to, you know, I did a lot of investigations and profiling people and listening to their words and how they react to things and what the underlying messages are. And I've been in direct ministry as a senior pastor for 31 years now, and so 40 years of listening to people and reading between the lines. This was, is it a man or a woman? It was a man, wasn't it?
It was a man, yes.
Yeah, yeah, this guy has been hurt, obviously, and it sounds like he's been hurt by a legalistic church, or he perceives that it was something was directed against him in the way of legalism and judgmentalism. And then, brother, we don't know the whole story. I have also discovered that sometimes people get involved in, and I'm not saying that this is true of this man, I have no idea, but I'm just giving my experience as a long time pastor. Sometimes people get involved in sin, and they are confronted with it, sometimes judgmentally, sometimes lovingly. And rather than deal with the sin, they lash out at the people who come to them. See, he kept saying, throw the first stone, throw the first stone. I know I've ministered to people. I tell people all the time from our pulpit, look, this is the church that I pastor. I said, we're not a cult. We don't look in your windows. That's between you and the Lord, your day-to-day lifestyle. But please understand, when your lifestyle begins to reflect upon your public testimony and upon this church, somebody probably will lovingly, privately, redemptively speak to you to try to help you. I mean, the Bible commands us to do that, Pastor Dan, you know. And and sometimes people accept that, but you know what? I have discovered over the years, I think probably, I don't have statistics on it, but probably the majority of people don't. I mean,
who knows?
They, you know, brother, they just don't. And so I'm listening to this guy. He speaks a lot of truth, but on the other hand, he sounds hurt. He sounds embattled. He sounds confused about some other things. Bottom line is, he talks about how, I forgot his exact words, but he basically says religion is a terrible thing. Well, I agree with him, and I know you would too. And Jesus agrees with him. Religiosity is a terrible thing. Religion is what put Jesus on the cross. religion, the religious leaders were the ones that hated Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin Council, the leaders of the Jews, the teachers of the law. They were the ones that dogged him and tried to continually trick him and twisted his words and finally delivered him to Pontius Pilate. The religious people. I get that. What as you know, what Yeshua wants from us, what our Heavenly Father wants is a relationship, which is so much different than a religion. It's like a marriage. I have a relationship with my wife. We have our ups and downs. We have our wonderful, great, giddy, ecstatic times, and we have times of just China, you know, just daily living. But there's a commitment and a deep-seated love for one another that makes it a relationship and not just some contractual, legalistic agreement. I'm not married to my wife. I don't live with my wife. I don't do life with my wife because I have a license that says I must, or a list of rules and regulations. Rather, we have a relationship, and there's give and take, back and forth, up and down, but we stay together and we go through life. And that's what the Father wants from us, Pastor Dan. You know this. And I want to say to that precious man, if I want to say to that precious man, if he's listening, man, don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on the contextual Word of God and the love of our Heavenly Father for you. And let me say this. He was really coming down on Southern Baptist, and I get that. Listen, the Southern Baptist denomination is a huge denomination, some 37,000 churches in the United States alone. And I happen to pastor a Southern Baptist church, but if you come to our church, again, I've been there 30 years in one pulpit, you will seldom hear the word Southern Baptist mentioned. We're not ashamed of Southern Baptist work and missions work and their general reputation of being strong in the Word. We're not ashamed of that, but I don't emphasize denominationalism. We certainly are not legalistic. As I said, I tell people, we don't look in your windows. We don't measure your skirts when you walk in the door. But we just ask you, live for the Lord. Be real. Come on. Join the rest of us. Let's just be real. And we lift each other up. We encourage each other. If a brother is, quote, caught in sin, this is Galatians 6, go to him lovingly, gently. Be careful that you don't get caught up in it. And bring him back. Restore him if he will allow you. So that's the attitude of the church that I pastor, and people that come there, man, they never talk about, well, I hate this legalistic Southern Baptist church, because we don't talk about Southern Baptist and we're not legalistic, but we stand in the Word and we spur each other on. So, you know, what I say to this guy is, look, each Southern Baptist church is different depending upon its leadership. If he really truly had the bad experience he said, I'm so sorry, but there are other great denominations and churches out there that are serving Jesus, exalting Jesus Christ, lifting up the Word of God in context, doing missions, evangelism, discipleship, outreach, getting outside the four walls, taking the ministry to the streets and into the places of where the world's, quote, undesirables are. That's what the real gospel ministry is. And I hope that young man is listening, and I hope he gets involved in a Jesus-loving, contextual, Bible-teaching, mission-minded church. And anyway, so that's my rant. I'm sorry, brother. I went a little long, but that's how I feel about it.
You can rant all you want. I'll just wait till you get done. Sooner or later, you're going to have to take a breath. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. What really strikes me is that, you know, you talk about relationships, and you know, we should be in an assembly or church or however you want to call it, because I just hate to use the word just church, because people think of a building, and it's not a building. It's
right.
Something. It's a group of people along that has some pastors and elders and some other people and people with gifts that you form, what you said, a relationship, because you're forming a relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And, you know, it should be ongoing. And this is the problem that I'm seeing. And this young man was just a small example of it. We're seeing so many leaving. And it's not the Southern Baptist Convention by far. It's so many people are leaving the church. And I think part of the reason, Carl, and this, I want your input on this,
okay,
is they're looking around them and they're finding so many of these things acceptable. They're seeing that to the general public, it looks like gay marriage is acceptable, and it looks like transgenderism is acceptable, and this and that. And then they look at where they're at, and you know the Southern Baptist Convention is great because they've been one we've always been able to kind of count on to say, well, we're going to hold the line, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we're seeing these people run. Back to you.
Yeah. Well, listen, brother, no, your observations are correct. The Southern Baptist denomination, and I'm not here to be a spokesperson for them or an apologist, but the truth of the matter is, so far, they have an overall reputation and history overall. Some churches don't, but the denominational stance is very conservative biblically and very solid biblically. Now, listen, I've taken them to task on some of their stances. I mean, brother, I've gone before the Board of Trustees at their invitation and cleaned their clock about some things over the years. We can get into that later if you want, but and they know, and I've been to the offices, the central offices, and I've preached in the chapel services at the request of the president of the Southern Baptist denomination some years back. So I've been very involved at the denominational level, but I can tell you there are a lot of godly men and women that are involved in all of that really hold the line. But the thing is, the Southern Baptist denomination, each church is autonomous, and that makes it a little different from most denominations. Most denominations, each church kind of answers to an upper authority, an ecclesiastical denominational authority. In the Southern Baptist, the churches are autonomous. We voluntarily cooperate with all of the other churches through the convention, through the cooperative program, it's called. And we send money and missionaries and efforts, and we get involved in relief efforts and disaster relief and missions efforts, etc., cooperatively, independently, autonomously. So in other words, if the Southern Baptist Convention came out tomorrow and said, we're going to start ordaining homosexuals and doing gay marriages, if they made some ruling, that affects my church not one bit. As a matter of fact, all I would have to do is get up and tell my church, and they would insist that we take Southern Baptist off our church's name, and we would, and that we no longer call ourselves Southern Baptist, and we would. Now, what would that do to our church? Nothing. Not a thing. We don't receive any money or grants from them. They get money from us. So that's the autonomy of Southern Baptist, and that helps. That helps us keep our strength. Now, here's the problem that you talked about, brother. We've talked about this before on your show. In my last two books, When the Lion Roars and Be Thou Prepared, I've got the statistics. I've got all of this referenced. So I'm just going to say that, and then I'm going to ask your folks to trust me that I'm speaking correctly here because I know what I'm talking about. George Barna of the Barna Poll, the Barna Group, they're famous and have been for decades for providing very accurate statistical information as to what's going on in the Christian world in America. And the Barna Group, George Barna, a couple of years ago revealed that he had been involved in a 2 or 3 year survey of thousands and thousands and thousands of conservative evangelical pastors, not the liberal ones, not the denominations that have already fallen apart and gone into apostasy, but the conservative evangelicals. Well, that obviously would have to include a lot of Southern Baptists, and there are other denominations, you know, Assembly of God, et cetera, et cetera. But conservative evangelical pastors, that means they're not Catholic, they're not the liberal ordaining homosexual priest and all that. These are the conservative, Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, at least that's what they say, churches and pastors. He took several years, interviewed many thousands of pastors autonomously, and he asked them, how often do you preach and teach on, and he went down this list, evolution, abortion, sexual perversion, pornography, homosexuality, gay marriage, Israel as a revelation of prophecy in the last days, politics and how it relates to the Word of God and Christian living. And they went down this list, and brother, he reported, and again, all of this is documented in my books, that over 90% of all conservative evangelical pastors that he interviewed admitted anonymously that they never speak about any of those topics from their pulpits. Wow. And then when he asked them why, their number one answer was, because they were afraid of hurting feelings, losing members, and losing money. Now, brother, that is a cancer. It is a scourge upon America's, get this, conservative evangelical churches. And I am convinced that that's part of the reason why so many people are so frustrated with church. They go and they hear cute little sermons and little poems, right, and jokes and stories and you know, three ways to feel better about yourself and two ways to have better self-esteem and four ways that God will make you financially wealthy. And I mean, all of this pablum and junk. And instead of getting to the heart of what's happening in the world, and by the way, 90% of these pastors also said they never, ever, ever preach on prophecy. Well, that's 25% of the Bible.
What are they preaching? Okay, wait a minute. All those things that you mentioned are the day-to-day life things that you're supposed to be telling the people that are coming to your service.
Well, that's what I think.
Then the other there is, I don't know how you cannot talk and not talk about privacy. I mean, what does that leave you to talk about, Carl?
Well, what it leaves you with, brother, is what most people are getting on a consistent basis from their pulpits. I'm not being judgmental. I don't mean to be disparaging, and I'm not saying it like I'm the expert, because I don't have the opportunity to go to all these churches and see if this is true. I'm relying upon George Barna, interviewing thousands and thousands and thousands of preachers for years and years, and coming to this conclusion that 90% of the good guys never talk about any of this. So the answer to your question is, what are they talking about? And this is why people are leaving so many of the churches, because they're talking about God is love, puppy dog's breath, daffodils, rainbows. You know, I mean, it's you know, the things I said, ways to feel better about yourself. You know, how to be a good person, how to live so that God will love you more. And I mean, this kind of junk is what most of them are getting, these little neutral, lovey-dovey messages, because the pastors admitted, and they could do this honestly because their names weren't being involved. This was all anonymous.
Right.
They said, look, we're afraid. Look, if I get up and preach on abortion, all right, here's their thinking.
Okay, wait a minute. We're coming up to a break. We'll come back and talk about it. And anyway, tell them where they can find Pastor Carl Gallup's at.
Yeah. Sorry, you going to leave me hanging with this, man. There'd be people tuning me out now.
I can't help it. We got 30 seconds left.
I know, brother. I know how this works. All right, CarlGallup.com. CarlGallup.com.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Hang on with more Carl. Tune into it. Go look at his website. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, remember to support us for we can care for the people that the Father sends us. Men, women, children from all walks of life come to us seeking help. And we're in a really bad neighborhood. It's just really amazed me at how bad the neighborhood has started turning. So pray for the neighborhood, because it's really going downhill. Of course, all of the center of Wichita is really doing the same thing because they neglected it for so long. But anyway, today, though, I'm saddened, and I ask your prayers for this young lady. I'm sad, really in a sad mood whenever I think about this young lady. You see this one young lady that comes to the mission church, and she has a disorder where she has like five different personalities. My wife tells me if you just look at the different color that she wears, we'll tell you what personality that is going on with her. And by that, you can tell whether she'll talk to a man or she'll talk to a woman or you can talk to her or not. But what really bothers me, now we've been trying to help her, I've been trying to get into her and counsel her, but I got to catch the right personality, you know what I mean? Anyway, but I found out that one of her personalities has started selling herself on the street. And so, you know, lift her up, because there's so many women that could have been saved this fate. Which, if there would just have been a bed for them when they first come out of the out and hit the street. Now, last year there was a shelter that opened up, the Nuns opened up, and they ran it for about a year, and it was a woman's walk-in shelter. It's closed now. And so there really isn't a lot of options, hardly any at all, for women that hit the street in Wichita. So pray for it. And we are getting back from the storm. You can hear us on radio, so we must have got back some way. But we're still having problems with the main computer, and we're trying to replace it. And as you know, the donations, unless unless donations say that they are for radio, everything goes to Wichita Mission Church. Wow, that was so hard to say, wasn't it? Anyway, if you donate to radio, please indicate you're donated to radio. And by the way, radio airtime is due. Anyway, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with support, again, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Pastor Carl Gallup talking about a lot of things. You there with us, Carl?
Yes, sir, I am. You want me to pick up where I left off, or you want
No, go ahead. I want to hear too.
Okay, good. Well, and we were talking about, you know, why people are leaving churches, and I went through the whole litany of the George Barna revelation, which I think is a big part. Now, there are other reasons, I believe, that we can get into if you want to, but I was just talking about all of these important biblical truths that are never addressed from the pulpits, according to 90% of the pastors. And I think people go to church to hear the Word of God expounded, to understand how to put real life into context with the Word of God. How do we measure the Word of God against the stuff we deal with in life? If not in our own life, in the lives of our loved ones, or the lives of the people we work with, or the lives of our next door neighbors. If we never hear any preaching about what the Bible says about the sanctity of life, or abortion, or et cetera, or if we never have any practical biblical application to that whole topic, how can we deal with life? So many people have been affected. So the pastors are saying, yeah, but we don't want to deal with that topic because it's so controversial. People get mad. They leave the church. They take the money. I can't pay for my big buildings. Now, as I said, I've documented everything I just said through the George Barna poll. But here's the illustration I was using right when we went to break. So their reasoning is, so if I'm standing up there on Sunday morning and I'm going to preach a sermon on the sanctity of life and abortion, the sin of abortion, the pastor would argue, 90% of these pastors would argue, but that's such a ubiquitous problem in our nation. It's so prolific that a good percentage of women sitting in the congregation have been directly touched by this, either in their own womb or in the womb of their daughter or their niece or their sister or their next door neighbor or their boss or their best friend. So they'll have hurt feelings. They won't like it. They'll think I'm not being tolerant, et cetera, et cetera. They come up with all this, and then they'll get mad, they'll get hurt. And my answer to that is, wait a minute, that's just lazy preaching. There are godly ways to present the truth of God's word. Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, they dragged, drug her up in front of him, and he loved on her, but he said, look, listen, young lady, go and sin no more, but your repentance has saved you. You have been forgiven, but don't sin anymore. This is devastating to you and to your body and to your witness. And so there are ways to balance all of this. And by the way, those pastors that are worried about what the women will think. One of the problems with that is men are involved in abortion too, brother. A baby has to be made with a man, right?
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of men are the ones behind the women pushing them to go get an abortion. So there's a lot of preaching and teaching that needs to be done, but it can be done with the truth of God's Word, but bathed in love with the offer of salvation and repentance and healing, because abortion is not the unforgivable sin. It bears scars that often last a lifetime, and men and women and families need those scars healed. They need the touch and the love of Jesus. They need somebody to speak the truth to them. But 90% of the conservative evangelical pastors, for example, with this one illustration, are never talking about it because they're afraid they're going to lose members. And the church is suffering, and people are suffering, and they go to these churches and they realize they're not getting the Word of God, they're not getting instruction, they're not getting healing, they're not getting forgiveness, they don't know what to do, they don't know how to address life around them, they get disgruntled, they get discouraged, so they go down the road, they find another church, and lo and behold, it's the same problem there. But it takes them months to figure that out, maybe years. And then they get discouraged and they say, okay, I'll try another one. And there's a 90% chance, according to Barna, that they're not going to find a church that preaches. Only a 10% chance that they'll walk into a church that has the balance of the love of Christ, but the contextual preaching of the whole Word of God. And that's what's going on. That's one of the big factors, Brother Dan. I'm convinced.
Well, absolutely. But let's look at this a minute. You know, we were talking about them, so they must be talking about, you know, giving these nice little messages, love, 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 and making everybody happy. I get that. But what they're not realizing, or they were supposed to grasp, this is the way I always thought it was, is that if we point out sin and problems and wounds, and it causes the people to repent, because how can they know unless the preacher preaches to them, that it will heal them, and they'll feel much better than all those little short phrases and all this talk about love, when they can release something, and something that's been in there and festering for a long time is let out, and they're healed, and it changes things.
Yes,
what
brother,
happened to that?
No, that's good. I'm going to tell you. It's tough love. It's like if a child is really sick, and you got to give them medicine, but the medicine is nasty, and the child just screams, "Oh, I don't want to!" And you feel sorry for the child, so you say, "Okay, you don't have to take your medicine." But wait a minute, are you loving the child by not giving them the medicine just because they don't want to taste it, or are you loving the child by giving them the medicine so they can be healed? It's the same way. I know. I'm very aware that people are hurting in the pews, that people carry secret sins and things from their past. I am aware of that. But that does not stop me, contextually, as I'm moving through the Word of God, dealing with the whole Word of God, from saying, now folks, this morning we're going to talk about the sanctity of life. And I realize there are people here whose lives have been directly touched, and almost everybody here, their lives have been indirectly touched. And I say, look folks, in my own family, I have people who are precious to me who've been caught up in the whole lie of abortion, and they've had abortions. So please know, I'm not talking down to you, but I want to tell you what God's Word says about it, and then I want to talk to you about the healing and the forgiveness that's available. Now, please listen to me. Well, when you set it up like that, brother, how are people going to be mad? You know?
Right.
And if they are, that's their problem. All I'm doing is saying, look, you got to take this medicine, you will get healing. And I'm going to not cram it down your throat. I'm going to offer it up sweetly, but you really need to take this medicine. And
yes,
that's why I'm saying it's laziness, and it's fear. What did Paul tell Timothy? Because, see, Timothy was pastoring in Ephesus, the churches in Ephesus, and apparently there was a lot of persecution going on in that time, a lot of people trashing the Word of God and trashing the Christians. And Paul told Timothy, he said, look, Timothy, straighten up. Be a man of God. Preach the whole Word. God has not given you a spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power. Watch this. And of love. and of a sound mind, Timothy.
Amen. You know, Carl, that was one of my mom's very, very favorite scriptures that she's always thrown at me when I was young. But that's true. A couple of things before I forget. Number one, so if the passion... Now, pastors are supposed to be great men of faith. And I'm not saying any that doesn't, because anybody that steps into being a pastor, there's a whole lot of things that goes along with it that a lot of people just don't realize.
Right.
But the big word here is faith. You should be maybe not the strongest person in the whole church to have faith, because you know that you can't judge that. But my point is this. Their faith should be stronger than... Well, if I preach this message, I'm going to lose people. Where's your faith? You know, you're supposed to be preaching the word. And so if your faith isn't there, that your church will still be taken care of. Well, maybe you didn't go the right direction with your church in the first place, with your wonderful big building or whatever, because we are supposed to preach. I mean, the word is supposed to be sharper than a two-edged sword. It is supposed to cut to the bone.
Yes.
There's that point. And then we have this other little dilemma. We're saying here that of the conservatives, and so that excludes non-conservatives, so they've got to be preaching a worse message, 10%. Where's America going? I mean, how can we survive with just 10% getting the Word of God back to you?
Well, brother, listen, you're right. 20 years ago, if you surveyed the man in the street and asked him what his faith system was, 90%, survey after survey after survey, said, well, I'm a Christian. Now, you and I know that 90% of Americans have never been Jesus-loving, Spirit-filled, born-again, church-going, Sunday school-attending, Bible-studying Christians. We know that. But still, what they meant was, well, I'm not an atheist. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Hindu. I'm a Christian. Okay, 20 years ago. Now, you ask them now, and it's under 70%. It's dropped well over 20%. But George Barna, just a few months ago, released another shocker. He went to those under 70% who say, oh, I'm a Christian. And he asked them, how many of you come from a biblical worldview? In other words, you measure your life against the truth of God's Word. You believe the Bible is accurate, that it is God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is what we are to base our life upon. You believe the general message of the Bible, that we are all together in sin, and that only Jesus can save us, and that we must repent and be born again, and that Jesus is coming back, and that Israel is his one of his final warnings to the world in the last days, the return of Israel. How many of you believe that? A biblical worldview out of the 70% of you who say you're Christians. Brother, I hope you're sitting down, because if you didn't see this poll, this is going to shock you.
I haven't seen it.
This was done just a few months ago. George Barna said, out of the 70% who say they are Christians in America, the number who said, oh, I believe the Bible's the Word of God. I come from a biblical worldview. The number of Christians, 17%.
17%.
Less than 20% of the 70% of Americans who say they're Christians, less than 20% of them said, I believe the Bible's the Word of God. You see, that's what we're dealing with, brother. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of godly people in pulpits, but there are a lot also, apparently, who are not so godly. And because they don't, some of them don't believe the Bible's the Word of God, or they'll cut and paste and take pieces and portions, and if it doesn't match up to the political correctness, they either won't teach it and preach it, or sometimes they'll preach against it and say that the Bible's wrong. We got that going on in churches too. So, brother, we're living in prophetic times, Pastor Dan. You know that. The apostasy is sweeping, just like the Word of God said it would. Truth is being thrown to the ground. There's a famine. There's a drought of the Word of God. And we're watching it happen, brother. This is very spiritual. It's very demonic. Now, I don't want to give just a negative message here. I want your listeners to know, look, you've got the Word of God. Get in it, study, dig, find a church, 10% of them. You might have to visit 10 of them before you find one, but they're out there. And no church is perfect. Look, I love my church. My people are great. They allow me to do this. We are debt-free, and we've been debt-free for decades. We immerse ourselves in missions like you do and your church. I mean, brother, we're all over the world. In fact, we've got a team of people in Peru right now. We just had another team get back from Guatemala. We had another team in Africa. We've been all over the Gulf Coast, and we've been in inner cities, in drug rehab centers. And brother, we get outside of our walls, and we minister, and we're debt-free. And we stand on the Word, and we love people. But as good as my church is, brother, I still have had, over the 30 years I've been there, I've had a couple of hundred people come and go through there who got mad and left because they didn't like that we were standing in the truths of God's Word. They got their feelings hurt. They were convicted. And all of that happens. Brother, it just happens. But my attitude is, look, I can look myself in the mirror. I can sleep at night. I don't mistreat people. I don't plot against people. I'm a loving pastor. I minister to people. I hold their hands. I hold their babies when they're born. And I hold their hands when they're drawing their last breath, like a pastor's supposed to do. Yeah. I stand in the Word. I hold out the love of Jesus. And I hold out the chance for healing and a new life, and we get outside of our walls, and we take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that's all I can do, brother. That's all. The people that come and go, that's between them and the Lord. And so I'm telling your listeners, there are churches like that out there. There are. And but the problem is, we're just living in very prophetic times, Pastor Dan. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I'm really glad I call it pulling your string and got you started, because you did an excellent job. That's my job with you. I just have to look for the right string to pull.
Brother, I know. I've got a short string, don't I?
Depends on which one, hey.
Yeah.
Anyway, Carl, that was a wonderful message. And, you know, the message is that we are in trying times. But, you know, if people are you're in a bogged, and I just address it to the folks for a minute. Folks, if you're in a bogged down church and you're really not getting the Word of God, you know, I'm a person that believes that you should always try to change where you're at first. But if that isn't a possibility, they won't listen to you, and most of them won't, then you do need to start searching, you know, and pray it in, and it will happen. Because I know, Carl, what I see is why I can't really put my fingers on in the big city of Bible, you know, preaching churches like we've been talking about, or in non-Bible preaching ones. But I do know that there are a lot of home groups, you know. There's a lot of home groups starting across the country because they're tired of the lack of the Word of God in the church. And so, folks, if you have to start your own home church, family home church, and believe me, if you pray about it, it will probably expand. But you need to get the Word in you, because that's the only thing that's going to save you in these times. Now, Carl, we got about 5 minutes. Where are we at with your books? Aren't you coming up with a new one soon?
Thank you. Yes, sir. My latest one that's out now and has been out since last October is When the Lion Roars. If your folks don't have that, I encourage them to get it. That has become an international bestseller. Churches and pulpits are being transformed because of it. And it takes a look at the prophetic times in which we live from a Bible, contextual, balanced look. It doesn't insist that you believe any particular kind of, or that you hold to any particular kind of rapture timing. It just says, look, here's what God's Word says. Here's where we are. Here's what the headline news is saying. Here's what's actually happening in the world. Can you not see the prophetic times in which we're living? And people are loving it. Pastors are finally, a lot of pastors are starting to preach prophecy now, because they finally got a resource that allows them to do it with the solid Word of God without getting caught up in pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, historical premillennialism, preterism, all that stuff. You know?
That's good one.
Yeah, just here's the Word. And then I have another one coming out September, October of this year. It's with Defender Publishing. I'm so excited about it. I'm not allowed to share the title yet, but it is a sweeping overview of deep biblical truths from the Garden of Eden to the Book of Revelation that reveals not only what's happening right before our eyes, but why it's happening, and not only that, why now. And I've been teaching this stuff to my church on Sunday nights for the last several months. They didn't even know I had written a book about it. It has transformed their understanding of the Word of God. They're coming to me every day saying, Brother Carl, my Bible has come alive. And I've said to them, well, I've put it all in a book. And they're just so excited they can't wait. So I'm going to get you a pre-copy of it as soon as it's ready, and okay. a galley copy. Yeah, and then if you like it, then, brother, have me on and we'll talk about it, because there's some stuff there that's going to blow people away. And it's all documented, heavily resourced with scholarly sources. But what I've done, I've taken topics that preachers seldom address, and I've woven them together in a contextual unfolding story that starts in the Garden of Eden and goes all the way to the book of Revelation. And I'm telling you, you'll never read your Bible in the same way again, brother. I'm looking forward to it.
Amen. I'm really looking forward to everything that you come out with are just really great. I mean, you know, they actually built one upon another. And one of my most favorites is the coffee table book. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Magic Man in the Sky.
Yeah, Magic. That was the first one I ever came across, and I read it and I went, wow, you know, and I read it again and I went, wow. And then I had you on afterwards, but yeah, that is a really great book, and that is a book that you can hand anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And say, well, hey, read this, you know, because it just some common sense things in it that will lead you to the right place.
Yeah, and I got to give a testimony about that book. I had a member of my church, I've known him for years. I held his little boy when he was born. His boy grew up. He's off now, living on the other side of the United States. He got hooked up with a bunch of godless people, started claiming he was an atheist and lived in abject sin. The other day he called his dad. He said, Dad, he said, I've given my life to Jesus for real. He said, I'm following the Lord in believers' baptism. I found me a good church. I reached the bottom of the barrel. And he told his dad, he said, you know what brought me out and slapped me in the face? And Dad said, what's that? He said, God used Pastor Carl's book, The Magic Man in the Sky. He said, I was going through my closets, and it fell out at my feet. I picked it up and read it, and I hit my knees and gave my life to Christ.
Wow.
So God's using that one, too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We could re-talk about every one of your books, and they're all fantastic. And especially, you know, I do like Lion Roars, but I feel it's like that. If you read Lion Roars, then that just prepares you to be thou prepared. You know what I mean? Because they go along together. That's a package deal. And then if you want to know about the times that we're in with prophecy, the Kaduri book, and, you know, it just goes on. And so your books add one to another. And I imagine what this one will do, too.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait. You're going to get a copy of it very soon, brother.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Well, I'll let you say goodbye to the people, and then I got a couple things to say. So
okay.
Go ahead, take a minute.
Yeah, thanks. Let me just say to this great audience, Pastor Dan, you and your audience, I love you guys. I'm so just honored that they would stick around and listen to me. And let me just say, look, we are living in profoundly prophetic times, but don't lose hope. Look, our life is only just a few decades. I mean, 60, 70, 80 years if we're blessed, the Bible says. So we're not here to see how comfortable and rich and important we can be. We are here to be ambassadors for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, regardless of what's going on in the world. God has raised us up for such a time as this. So get out there, be the salt, be the light, keep your head up, square your shoulders. You're a child of the soon coming King.
All right. Well, thanks for being on with me, Carl, and we'll talk again. We'll goodbye and be blessed, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. You as well. God bless you, brother.
Well, folks, that's Pastor Carl Gallup. You can find him at carlgallup.com. He has a lot of articles over there and everything. And Carl says, if you listen to him, you know, it makes you want to go look for a church that's like in mainstream Christianity. And he's just a wonderful guy. He really is. Anyway, so you need to pray about things, folks. You know, with these statistics that we just got through looking at, 70% of the Christians that say, hey, I'm Christ, that you would meet on the street, you know, or that says that they believe in Christ, they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, 17% only look at a biblical worldview. That means that really that 17% might have a relationship with Him, and that's here in the United States. We are faced with a famine of godlessness in this country. It's getting worse and worse and worse. The reason why it is this way is because sound doctrine hasn't been preached. There's too many other things that have been preached, and so we need to stick to sound doctrine, which is the Word of God. And it's not, people talk about, well, you, Pastor Dan, you say, well, you know, the Old Testament and all that, that's all legalistic. Have you ever read it? I mean, really? Are you one of these people that I want, you know, it seems like everybody's read the Bible. You say, hey, have you read the Bible? Oh, yeah, I read the Bible. Really? Well, you sure don't act like it. I mean, how many people those do you know that are like that? But if you're going to read it, read it slowly, start from the beginning, go to the ending, because one explains the other. Anyway, we're going to have a good program on in an hour. We're going to be talking about the book of Enoch. Remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. And once again, lift this ministry up, this church up, in your prayers. Pray about supporting it. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.